At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I know! I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes Around the Whirlpool and Fly Me to the Moon. Just a quick reminder, this is an E4 explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Alex, you look so happy in your chair, your swivel chair.
I know, I am so happy in my swivel chair.
Did you upgrade?
I did. I actually have a... If you can't, like, tell a difference, Jacob, I have an actual desk with a chair. It's amazing. For the first time in how long have we been doing this podcast for?
3 years.
3 years. I actually have a proper desk and I feel so official.
Looks like you got like an office going there.
I have a little sunroom off of my main living space. That is where I currently am.
That's a sweet setup you got going on there. Alex, you probably got the best out of all of us now.
Oh, yeah. I'm a mess over here. I need to completely redo the setup of this room.
Austin's back to his bed. Yep. We've come full circle, because that's where I started out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I totally fucked up the intro. And our other co-host, Alex!
Oh, sorry. Hi!
Well, technically, this is our season premiere, so maybe we should assume people don't know who we are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank God, because I was really confused this week. I forgot I watched the last week's episode, but then, like, the jump, I forgot... We won't talk. I guess we can talk about it now. I forgot about the mid-season. We're not going to go gym anymore. We're going to go off and go on a tangent here.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that.
I do too. I hate it. But what I don't hate is you guys living through your week. So who did something this week? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. Yesterday, I went to another convention, anime convention.
Yes, I know all about this.
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Your live stream was great on Twitch. Austin, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was actually kind of in a live stream.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. Okay. This is a story. I typically don't talk about random people we don't know on the podcast, but I'm going to have to include some folks in my story here. One thing I did was I signed up for a Pokemon Puzzle League championship.
Oh, my God. Thrilled.
Oh, my God. It was something. Because I go in there, and I'm like, I realize, like, these people, like, know how to play Pokemon Puzzle League.
Yeah. You didn't think they wouldn't?
I was like, I didn't know. So I literally, like, turned to someone, and I'm like, I didn't know people played Pokemon Puzzle League competitively. And they looked at me like I had just, like, shot their dog.
Oh my God.
Austin, do you remember who you were talking to? Like, you're at a convention.
I know. These conventions are always so fun. Because it's a fun reminder that I am not nearly as dedicated as a lot of people are. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you feel good about yourself.
I wouldn't say so much as I was like... Well, I was included on a live stream because someone was recording YouTube videos or something. I don't know who you are, but if you found our podcast or this, I don't think you did. But the first person I was paired up with was in the same boat I was. I turned to her and I was like, I have a confession to make. I've never once played Pokemon Puzzle League in a competitive setting. And she was like, yeah, me either. She was implying, like, this is ridiculous. And I was like, I know.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
So who won?
I won.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, how far did you get then?
I got through the first round. In the second round, I was paired with a person who looked at me like I had just insulted their mother. And he was like, didn't know what to do with me, but he was nice. Because, like, he beat me, like, immediately, and I was like, oh, shit.
No. Was it one and done? Elimination?
Yeah. It was funny.
Pokemon Puzzle League freaks.
You gotta kind of admire that dedication to something, because that's something I never achieve.
I thought what I said was, I'm not here to win, I'm here to have fun. And he literally beat me, and he turned around, and he's like, was it worth it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Hey, guy, whoever you are, I fucking love that. Was it worth it?
I'm like, yeah, that was just a funny thing to do. I'm not taking this seriously. See, this is why I could never do sports, because, like, I don't like how people take it so seriously. I'm just like,
yeah,
sorry, Jacob.
I get what you mean, Austin, about, like, taking it too seriously. That sort of stopped with me a little bit in high school. Like, I cared about winning, and I felt good, but, like, I know some people, like, and this is even true for some adults, like, when they watch, they're not even a part of the team. Like, the team has no idea who they are, but they're, like, team loses, and they, like, bust their TV, or it, like, ruins their week. That's the point I wanted to get to. It's like where my mood is not dependent on whether or not some team that has no idea who I am wins or loses. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun to watch and enjoy, but I don't want my week destroyed.
That's just toxic. If it's going to upset you, don't do it, is my take on it. You know what I mean?
Very well said. Very well said. But that sounds, you got to admire the dedication a little bit, because that's something I never do, like with speedrunners and people that dedicate themselves to that stuff. Good for y'all. Glad you found your niche. I hope that wasn't worth it, guy one, because that was hilarious. I hope he took home the gold.
I kind of wanted to stick around to find out, but it would take forever. So, like, peace. Bye.
That sounds like a shirt. Like, just wasn't worth it.
Wasn't worth it. With the Pokemon Puzzle League emblem.
Right. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Then maybe his username. Was it worth it? YouTube channel.
God, can I? Oh, my God. Can we make shirts? I want to make a shirt.
He gave me his username, but I honestly forgot it. Man. Sorry, dude.
We get in a shout out.
Oh,
I forgot it.
Dang, Austin.
Sorry.
Can't take you anywhere.
If you're involved in the Pokemon Puzzle League metagame, let us know, because I want to hear all about it. Like, genuinely.
I always wanted to be a commentator on, like, a video game, sports, or something, because I have no idea what's going on, so I think I'll provide pretty colorful commentary, as they would say. Austin, that sounds fun, though. Did you do anything else? Was there any other, like, competitive stuff that you were like, I can't believe there's an audience for this?
No, that was the only one.
Okay.
And I didn't do, like, Mario Kart or anything like that, because I was like, ooh, Mario Kart's, like, intense. I'm going to...
Don't mess with Mario Kart. Do not do that.
I figured Mario Kart has, like, a huge player base, so I was like, Pokemon Puzzle League, no one plays that. I'll pick that.
Yeah. Any Nintendo competitive game is very, very... I wouldn't say, like, toxic, because there's, like, good people, but they're, like... There's not a lot of them, so they're super intense. Like, you got Splatoon, Smash Bros., and, like, Mario Kart, and, like, Pokemon. There's only, like, four, so imagine how intense it is.
That's the only story I'll share today. I'll save some material for next time.
Cool, cool.
Ooh, there's more.
No, not really. No.
That's the highlight of the convention. Alex, what did you indulge in this week besides getting a new desk, a swivel chair?
I don't know. You know, honestly, I've been sitting here trying to think this whole time, like, what I've been up to, and I legitimately can't think of much beyond the fact that I got my PlayStation set up. I've been in a Grand Theft Auto 5 mood because, I guess, in preparation for the new game. So I'm going to try to get through that.
Are you so excited for the reveal of a certain video game coming up?
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. I know this is a little bit premature because we're recording this still in May, but apparently there's supposed to be some actual official news of my all-time favorite video game series of all time, Dragon Age. And that is actually happening, I think, in the next couple weeks. So coinciding with another big event. So we'll see what happens.
What big event would that be?
I don't... Jacob and Leslie's baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm going to be watching the live stream and be like, come on, Dragon Age! Come
right, exactly.
On. Let's go.
I love how the juxtaposition right now in our lives is like, Leslie and Jacob are about to welcome a new child into their lives. And meanwhile, my biggest excitement is, I'm so fucking pumped for the reveal of this video game. It's been 10 years, so arguably I've been waiting a lot longer. But yeah, that's about the most exciting.
It's been a decade.
It's not a competition, Alex.
Yeah, you've only been waiting for your baby for 9 months. I've been waiting for this game for 10 years.
Yeah. So I've been gone a little bit for the past couple weeks, had some just stuff to take care of. But in that time, I made it a little bit further in Fire Red. I beat, like, I think Erica. Now I'm in the Slife company. Is that how you say that? Slife?
Sylph is how I've always said it. Is that right?
Maybe Sylph. I don't know.
Slife.
I can't remember the I or L's first. But I'm there, and that's a long, treacherous place. Because I'm trying not to use a guide, so I'm kind of just navigating blind. And I can't remember. I know there's a trick to it, but I can't remember the trick. So I got the card key, and I'll keep you updated on that. I'll beat this game probably in 3 years. I started out really fast, and I'm kind of just, I don't know if I'm bored with it or what, but I'll get there. I'll finish it off.
Don't be like me, Jacob. Actually finish it.
I know. I will. And I also went to a puppet show. That was fun.
Ooh.
Puppet show?
It was an experimental puppet theater. And it was basically just a bunch of random local acts that put on a bunch of, I guess, plays, but they used puppets. It was really fun. they did this thing where they come out and the time wizard comes out because they're talking about how hard it was to prep for the show because they actually had a main act that canceled like 3 weeks before. So they had to kind of like scuffle and get all these random people to come in and do the show.
What's a time wizard?
It's just a puppet. It's not like an actual thing.
I thought like a time wizard was a thing that we were supposed to know.
With I was like, did I miss a crucial part of the story?
No, this is like just the opening monologue that they prepared. Like I said, this is all kind of last minute. They did a great job though. And it comes out and it had like this fake time machine and it like kicks it. And then you got a pamphlet of the Order of the Axe. Well, the time machine messes up. So the whole show was in reversed.
Oh, it's cute. Part of the show. I see.
Yeah, so like everybody came out and did a bow, and you're like, great show, and you clapped, and then it started with the last act and go all the way to the front.
That's interesting.
It was a very good gimmick, because it was just out of nowhere. At the very end, they're like, welcome to the show, and they like, you know, it was good.
Oh, that's so clever.
It was really good.
Don't we have a pretty good, like, puppetry community here?
Yes, it was at that place. I don't want to give it away, but it's at that place.
Got it. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was like the professionals.
I'm so jealous. Ugh.
Yeah, you said you wanted to go, and we never got an opportunity to get down there.
Well, Jacob and Leslie never invited me.
This was a gift. You know, we know some people, so they gave us tickets. So
you know so many random people who we don't know who they are.
Honestly, Austin, I think that's just a testament to how we need to get out more and, like, talk to people.
You can't make me.
Well, you forgot that one guy's username, so there's a friendship out the window right there.
That's true. You're 0 for 1.
I will clarify, I was not at this convention alone. I would never do that, to be honest, because I'm scared of people.
But see, that's the point, is that wasn't a new person. That was established friendship that you already have, so it doesn't count.
You know what? Someone there had a button that said social anxiety, please be patient. I'm like, damn, I need one of those.
Oh, dang. I wish that was more commonplace, because then we could all just know from the outset, like, all right, this person's not just weird, they're actually working through something.
The way you go into that is just automatically assume everybody has social anxiety.
I think at an anime convention, you're pretty safe to get there.
Exactly.
Who's our fan base again?
I think it's a requirement. It's a requirement to get in. It's on the application, the checkbox for tickets.
So, Jacob, just to get our audience prepared, you most likely will not be with us in the near future for some time. Is that right?
That is true. I don't know. It could be. It's going to be random. Of course it's random. You know, most of the time it's random. I guess you can plan it, but it's going to be random. And, like, everyone will know. Like, I'll let everybody know that, hey, this is going on.
And we'll let the audience know, obviously, if you're okay with that.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to just a bunch of me and Austin shooting this shit? Because that's what it's going to be.
Maybe we could AI me in. I was looking into that.
Oh, my
God. I wonder if I, like, put in, I can just...
Or are you going to, like, pre-record a lot of clips that I can, like, splice in?
That's what I was going to say. I was just about to do that. I was going to be like, oh, that's cool. Like a soundboard. Let's create a soundboard with me and just click the buttons.
Oh, my God. Please do that.
Take some of my best highlights, Austin, and just, like, clip them out of audio. And then there you go.
No, you're going to be the one to prepare this because I don't have the time to go back through 130 episodes.
I'll just tell a bunch of random stories of myself growing up, and you can just implement them in where you see fit.
Just say a couple of, like, your usual, like, Jacobisms. Like, say a couple words that you normally say or something, and then we can just splice those
in. Buffett. There you go. Sue Queen.
Ponita.
Sue Queen's a good one. By the way, I posted a poll on Twitter, /X, and it was, which podcast format would you prefer for our episodes? More frequent episodes for whichever hosts are available, or only recording episodes whenever every one of our hosts are available? And I got 2 votes, and it's tied, and the poll's pretty much done. So that was of no help whatsoever. Thank you to everyone who voted. Your vote does not count.
And actually, just a PSA, your vote absolutely does count in real life. So please, when it comes to be voting time, get out there and vote. We are totally not advocating that you don't vote. We want you to absolutely vote.
Okay, shut down my joke. It's okay.
Sorry,
That was a good one.
I had to be a downer. Time to question my moves. I stick to the path that I choose. Me and my friends are gonna do it right. You'll never see us run away from a fight. To be a master is my dream. All I've got to do is believe. I believe. I've got a chance to win. I'm on my way to victory. I can be a champion if I just believe. I'm gonna be the very best. That's all I've got.
I don't have a transition here because I don't get what's going on here. Are we totally done with gyms for now and we're just going to...
No, of course not. Oh, for now, yes. Okay.
What is going on here? Why did we just... I don't remember this at all. We got four gyms in, right? We beat Machoke people. I saw that episode.
That's five.
That's five
gyms. You saw the Chuck episode?
Okay, I saw the Machoke, and then, like, we were gonna go fix a lighthouse that's broken.
Jasmine is in a state of disarray, apparently, for at least a month.
Oh my god.
It's filler time!
So this is the Orange Islands comparison?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That proves that there's no time limit to the badges, right?
I got a comment about that. Let's get started. Let's do this episode. Right.
Okay. So this episode is called Around the Whirlpool. What is that? Is that a... What saying does that copy from?
We had a discussion about that. Is it Around the World?
I thought it was a Daft Punk reference because they have a song, you know, Around the World, Around the World.
Yeah, that came out in 1997, apparently, so it could be.
I don't
be.
Know, potentially.
I'm also being like, Around the World is just a saying, you know?
In 80 days.
Around the Whirlpool in 80 days.
Okay, yeah.
That's how long it's going to take to get through these episodes.
Oh, God.
That's right. All right, the randomizer has spoken this week. And I get the 30-second summary this week. Austin, you get Around the Whirlpool. And Alex, you get Fly Me to the Moon, which I get that reference. That's an Evangelion reference.
Old Blue Eyes.
Yep.
I didn't like these episodes.
Get ready, Jacob. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we're taking a break from gyms now. We find out about the Whirl Islands, which I guess is a part of the game I forgot about. So Ash and friends, they get in a little scuffle with Team Rocket. They get thrown from the ship, and they wind up in, like, a whirlpool. They go to these, I don't know, special places. Like I said, the Whirl Islands. There's a Corsola that saves them, and they go to this island, and apparently Professor Elm's there, so we're on his part of the Pokemon world now. I forget what's happened after that, but we learn about this, like, new area over the new Pokemon Championship, which is a remake
Time.
Of Orange Islands.
Time.
There we go.
Time. All right. Thanks for setting me up there, Jacob. Basically, Jacob covered the first part of the episode. We're on a ship, Team Rocket attacks, Wobbuffet counters a electric move, and Team Rocket and the Twerps all fly off the boat. And no one gives a shit on this boat. Yes,
Can Alex? We back up a little and talk about how we have a brand new opening theme song?
Oh, right. It's a new season, everyone! It's a new season!
That's what threw me off.
That's what threw you off? The new opening theme?
I felt uncomfortable from the beginning here.
You get so ingrained with the 52 episodes of Johto League Champions that when it's new, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, Master Quest, which I don't get, but whatever.
It's not the best season subtitle,
but it's
no.
A banger of a song, isn't it?
It's a good song.
For a Pokemon theme song, it's
I'm
a pretty good one.
I'm on a Master Quest. I hope you put that in here.
Of course, I always do. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. Richie and Casey are in it.
Oh, really?
You didn't notice that?
No. My brain just blocks them out. They just, it was like complete skip over that. They didn't even register.
We hate Richie, right?
Is there anyone we don't hate on this show?
We hate Todd Snap. We hate Tracy. We hate Richie. We hate Casey. Who other people do we hate? What other people am I missing?
Every single character.
That murderer, right? Remember that murderer who sets traps in the
woods?
Yeah,
Melanie's going to make an appearance today, actually.
Oh, yeah.
For one of her traps, rather.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Kind of. Anyway.
Go back. All right.
Does anyone have anything to say about the opening?
It was cool, and I liked it.
It confused me, but I liked it.
Jacob. It confused me, but I liked it anyway.
So, we're all in mortal peril, because in the Whirl Islands, apparently, there are whirlpools everywhere. Just everywhere. There's whirlpools all over the place. They're, like, next to each other, and the ships just go right through them, and they don't care.
You know... Sorry, I had a thought. I was watching a Titanic documentary the other day, and I just got some vibes like that. Because they're like, this ship can withstand anything. Don't worry about those damn whirlpools.
Well, we don't see the ship again, so I'm assuming it was destroyed by a whirlpool.
It fell into a whirlpool.
And if the Twerps had not fallen off that boat, they would have died.
Nah, Destiny once again plays its role.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Destiny, Ash is the chosen one. And as the Twerps careen violently towards a whirlpool, because Misty's water Pokemon are not strong enough to save the Twerps from certain death, a mysterious whale noise goes by. Ooh, what could that be?
Oh, I wonder.
I don't know. But something is in the water, and the whale noises do something, I'm not quite sure what. And suddenly the Twerps are like, the current's changing. And now they are leaving the whirlpool instead of going toward it.
Did they forget that they had a whole movie?
Do you know who we're talking about here, right?
Are we spoiling it? Because it's not really a spoiler.
No, I'm saying the
it?
Twerps. They don't remember shit.
I thought their memory is erased at the end of that
no,
movie.
No, like they literally just...
They don't care. It's a Lugia, oh, okay. Everyone, just in case that wasn't clear. Mysterious whale noises.
You want to know something funny? I remember something vividly.
What?
In a later episode, Brock is going to say, we've seen a Lugia before in the Orange Islands.
He actually mentions it?
Brock was not in that movie. He has never seen a Lugia before.
My God, he wasn't in that movie? That's Maybe right. I have amnesia too. Damn.
I think you do, I can't blame
the twerps anymore, y'all.
They can't remember the details of their lived experiences, and you can't remember a cartoon.
Brock may have just seen one.
It was Tracy. Tracy was in that movie.
Yeah.
Stop erasing Tracy from your memories.
It's not my fault. He's...
I will not stand for this Tracy erasure. Anyway, the Lugia shadow silhouette swims underneath them, and the twerps are like, what that? So then the Jesus Pokemon comes to the rescue because a Corsola is able to walk on water. Jacob, is that true? Can Jesus walk on water? Did I make that up?
No, he did. He did do that.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
He also met someone else. He made a human walk on water, too.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, it was Peter. But I don't think Corsola helps anybody else walk on water, right?
No, so Peter the Corsola comes up and somehow saves them. I don't know what exactly it did.
It kind of just drags them.
It directed.
Oh, does it drag them?
No, it directed the Tentacruel to scoop them up, remember?
Oh, right.
Oh, that's random, right. Yeah.
Was it Professor Elm's Tentacruel or just a random Tentacruel?
A random one.
A very helpful Tentacruel.
Which Misty absolutely loved.
Dude, those things are huge. I mean, like, we see them before, but oh my God.
It was able to lift up all three of them.
Yeah, that's intense.
So, Peter the Corsola and Gregory the Tentacruel.
Gregory?
I don't know. Jacob can name random Pokemon, so can I.
Yeah, he can. I give him the power.
Okay.
Yep. We all go to a kind of a dinghy or whatever it is, like a ship, and there's Professor Elm.
Oh my gosh, we haven't seen him in 5,000 years.
Yeah, Professor Elm is here. And he's like, wait, I know you people. And they're like, we don't remember who you are because we're the twerps. But no, they actually do remember him. And Professor Elm is really amazed by Ash already having 5 badges. Already, you guys.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That was so fast.
Well, we don't really have a good scale of time. I mean, it's been 1,000 years. So I guess he's like, I don't know. I guess time just, it doesn't exist in the Pokemon world. But like, if you're really thinking about like, how long does it take an average person and not Ash to like go through an adventure, like maybe it is fast.
We can use this as a canonical example of Ash being a Wonderkin.
Yeah, like maybe in a traditional sense, like people might take years.
I kind of feel like most people like fizzle out like before they even do one campaign.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before too, right? Like, you know, you might go for the first couple gyms and be like, okay, I'm on a roll, but then you get disillusioned or you just can't get to that next milestone and then you just sort of, you're like, okay, that was a good try.
Jasmine says, no, don't battle me. I'm too upset. And you just give up.
They might get tired of just waiting for Ash and them, too. I mean, like, if we have to wait for everyone, like, someone who has a smooth transition through each gym, like, they know where to go. There's no festivals that stop them. There's no tragedy. It probably takes, like, 3 weeks. You know, we've been in this for years. So they're just sitting there waiting with 8 badges to start the Pokemon League for Ash and them to get through their misadventures. And they're aging, too. Ash doesn't age, so, like, they're sitting there aging.
Ash's protective aurora of time displacement has not gone to them yet.
Yeah, it's like the episode, it's like in, what's the Matthew McConaughey movie? Where they, like, you know, they go to the planet and they, like,
Interstellar.
Don't age. Interstellar, yeah, they come back at the ship and the guy's like, it's been 30 years, and he's all gray and old. And they're, like, still young.
That was the most upsetting part of that movie to me.
That gave me really bad anxiety.
Wasn't it when he was, like, trapped in the walls or something?
That was different.
That was a different part of the movie.
But that was at the end.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. He was, like, I can't really remember exactly what happened, but he was, like, trapped in between time or something, right? But it was, like,
it's
he was
the
in
fourth
the walls.
Dimension. It's like Einstein's fourth dimension or whatever.
God.
Anyway, I like the idea that we just assume that the Pokemon League waits for Ash to be done to start in every region. So Professor Elm is here, and so is the love of his life, Captain Marius.
Oh my God, they totally had a thing, you guys.
I kind of thought Professor Elm was like completely like swooning over Marius, and Marius was like, you hired me for a job, I'm going to cart you around these world islands, don't touch me.
Yeah, maybe more like that. He was like, Marius is the best sailor in the entire world. And Marius is like, I wouldn't say that, let's just go.
Let's just move on. That or he's embarrassed about their secret love, I don't know.
Who was also Gary Oak, right? That was Gary's voice.
Oh, is that who that was?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure Marius was Gary's voice.
It was Gary's dad.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Marius Oak?
We do never see Gary's parents in, like, any iteration.
Oak adopted him. Captain left to sail the seas, and Oak had to take over the reins.
New headcanon dropped, y'all.
So, Marius Oak and Professor Elm escort Archwerps to Blue Rock Island. And we are informed that the Whirl Islands are a chain of islands. There's four of them, four major land masses. It's kind of like the Orange Islands, but we won't be there for 30-something episodes. We'll only be there for like 12 or 13 episodes. And unlike in the games, they're not uninhabited caves. They are fully populated centers of community and society. And they have a festival every 3 years.
Are we just in time?
We actually are not just in time. We are a month early.
Shocking.
Oh my god.
My jaw dropped when they said that. I was like, whoa.
Can I just comment on, like, does anybody else think 3 years is like a weird time frame? Like, annually makes sense. Sure, we get a lot of annual stuff. Every 5 years, like, I don't know. I just think 3 years is a really strange thing.
I mean, the Olympics is 4 years.
Well, it would make more sense if there's four islands maybe every 4 years. Three is just kind of, like, out there. Unless something special happens.
I think they're just trying to make it, you know, more special.
An annual competition. The annual festivals
every damn day.
They don't have the money.
That's why it's so special the Twerps are here a month in advance and not, like, the day of. Which, I love that, because a month is a long fucking time, given that Ash doesn't age, you know?
Oh, that's true.
I've always wanted someone to go through and mark every time they say how much time has passed.
That way we have a definitive, like, idea.
Yeah, through the 1,000-plus episodes. And then just assume if they don't mention time passing, it's just the next day, every episode. And add it all up and see how, like, how many years it would be. Because it'd be a lot.
Damn, we should have started that when we started this. Like, we missed our opportunity because I'm not going back.
I'm gonna make a prediction real quick, Austin.
Okay.
Does the Whirlpool Island, Whirl Islands, forgot where we're at. Whirl Islands is going to end with the ceremony going on after Ash completes the challenges.
What challenges?
Whatever these four challenges are, whatever you're going to do.
Oh, there are no challenges.
Oh, we're just here? What the?
Okay. We're just here. We're here.
We're going to leave the Whirl Islands the day of the festival. That's my prediction.
Wrong.
Oh.
Incorrect.
I've completely forgotten how this whole thing plays out, but I will just say that my heart kind of dropped when they said, it's going to be a month, because I'm like, shit, that means we have to fuck around for a month. Great. Filler, filler, filler.
Okay, you guys, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this, like, weird mini arc we're on.
Sure.
Do you have any thoughts other than, like, ew, what's this?
Filler hell? No.
I like this.
Oh, boy. Oh, Austin's got a devilish grin.
Yes, I do.
I've completely forgotten. So you're implying that something, like, happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
I've forgotten this whole thing. Jacob, have you forgotten, too?
Yeah, I didn't think we did this. That's what I got to say. I forgot about it all.
Basically, what ends up happening is the amount of time between Chuck and Jasmine's gyms is going to be about equivalent as the time gaps as we usually get between these gyms, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, you know, a good, like, 15 or so episodes. But during this time gap between gyms, we're going to have a goal. We're going to do the World Cup. That's exciting. We're going to be in a new, fresh location. The Orange Islands. I mean, the Whirl Islands. So, I don't know. It's connected tissue between episodes, and I'm okay with that.
Sure. It just it feels a little samey. I mean, we've already had, like, an island arc.
The World Cup. I like that name. I think it's a cool name.
I don't know. Does this episode feel like kind of like episode one of a new season to anyone?
Yes.
It's just, it's like exposition. They just tell you kind of, like, you know, he gets that book and it kind of explains what's going on. And that's all there is really to it. It just kind of, like, lays out the rules of, or what this is and what we're going to do here.
It just felt so odd to me because this felt like a very introductory episode. Like, there was a lot of, this is Ash and he wants to be a Pokemon master. And this is Misty and she loves water Pokemon. And this is Brock. He wants to be a breeder. And, like, they meet the professor and they get a new goal and they get, like, a whole setup. And it just so happens by coincidence through the first episode of a four kids dub season. Like, that was not on purpose.
They treat the season transitions like they treat the games. Like, they assume that you've never touched it before. So I guess they got that consistency going for them. Like, each video game they play out, they're always like, this is Pokemon. Welcome to this world. Or at least they did when this came out.
Wait, so I have a question. So you're saying, Austin, that it just so happens to coincide with a new English dub season. Like,
yes.
Master Quest being, like, a four kids thing. And in Japan, it wasn't a new season. It was just a new arc.
Just more Johto.
That is shocking. Okay, so it just happened to line up. So for an American audience, like, watching, it's a brand new season, and that's why it feels like this definitive break. But in Japan, it was just like, okay, it's the next episode.
Yeah, it just happened to line up like that.
What? That's oh, wow. Okay.
That's weird. That's
that cool, is really though. Weird. That is pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
Because, I mean, the dub has 52 episode seasons, right?
Yeah, and it happened to be 52 into 53. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's... Wow, okay.
And, like, maybe if this had started a few episodes into Season 5, they would have kept the Johto League Champions branding for a little longer into Season 5. I don't know. That could have been the case. But this is the way it is, and so I think it's funny.
Interesting.
So we're here for the World Cup. There's a lot of talking. The specialty of the World Cup is water-type Pokemon, and there's a ton of water-type Pokemon trainers in the area, and they bring their water Pokemon, and they hang out in the pool, the saltwater pool next to the Pokemon Center, which, you know, Team Rocket are going to steal. We get a little bit of story on the origins of the World Cup and how the winner is called Water Pokemon Alpha Omega.
What?
Oh.
What?
I wonder where they got that from.
From the Bible.
This is...
Well, think of the later games, too.
Oh, I think that's a coincidence.
Omega, Ruby, Alpha, Sapphire. Yeah, if there's any way to give some preteen kid a god complex, it's with this right here.
Oh my gosh. Well, that preteen kid is going to be Misty.
Great.
Because she's going to win this World Cup. Ash and Misty are both going to register. But Brock's not, because he doesn't give a shit.
Honestly, I don't blame him for sitting out of this crazy thing. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Did anyone else think this was the exact moment that they decided Misty was no longer going to be with the twerps soon?
Possibly.
I think they were like, this is going to be Misty's last hurrah. The water-type Pokemon championship.
I mean, they already did the thing with, like, having Brock hang out with Professor Ivy for a while. You know, we got Tracy instead. So now they're like, Misty's kind of had her time in the sun.
I just kind of feel like behind the scenes, they were like, okay, y'all, Gen 3's coming. We got to shake things up because this is not sustainable.
New Pokemon, new characters.
That's really wild that, like, as we're in this particular time frame, Gen 3 is coming. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. I'm considering this to be Misty's big farewell, like, a full year before she leaves, but whatever. I will say, Elle mentions that in the past times, the legend is that Alpha Omegas lived under the sea and understood the water Pokemon. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Wait, so is this like a different race of people? Or was it like you became a mermaid person when you won the World Cup? Like, what?
I don't know. I don't know if y'all remember the Manaphy movie, but it made me think of that, where there's an underwater sea temple. That's all I gotta say.
I think Elm's just like smoking some stuff in his free time.
He's got some IVs, medicine.
Yeah.
Ooh, no. Marius is their drug contact. He travels between the Royal Islands and the Orange
Islands.
He's
actually a coke dealer in the boat. Well, there's always planes flying over the Royal Islands. Don't ask Ash. It's okay.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, the twerps ask about the silhouette. And Elm is pretty much fucking useless. He's like, I don't know, it could be a legendary, who knows? It's definitely not Lugia. Team Rocket attacks. Misty's Pokemon prove to be ineffectual, because Staryu is knocked out immediately, and Psyduck nearly drowns. So Professor Elm's Corsola has to save the day and blast off Team Rocket. Misty's like, damn, I want that Corsola so bad.
Oh my god, of all the Pokemon she could pick,
Here's a little mini storyline of Misty wanting a Corsola. I wonder how that will be resolved.
Oh, I wonder.
I will say, the only redeeming thing about Corsola is in, like, 20 years from now, it'll get Cursola as an evolution.
It'll die.
Yeah, once it dies.
The coral will be bleached and it will no longer be alive.
Once the microplastics get in there, it evolves. It's really kind of interesting.
God, all right.
We see a map of the Royal Islands and some very, like, intrusive English text the dub put in that identifies all the islands' names.
Do they have different names?
I assume it's just translations.
Oh.
Because they're all named after colors. We are on, what is it? Blue Island?
Blue Point.
Mm-hmm. Blue Rock Island?
Blue Point.
Yeah.
Blue Point Island. Okay, we gotta travel to the town of Bluefinland, and that will take us to the next island.
Bluefinland!
Yep, that's our goal.
God, did you guys get a kick out of that?
It was cute. The end.
The end. Okay.
And Jacob hated this episode.
What? He's a hater. No, I'm not that. I'm just like, I'm ready for the gyms.
You sit your ass down.
I know. That's what Pokemon likes to put me in my place when it comes to how fast or pacing.
I honestly, I truly think they're trying to fix the pacing with this. I think they're trying to give us a distraction so we don't notice how long it is.
For this episode's most valuable player and least valuable player, Austin, you're going first, Alex, and then myself. Good luck.
I'm first?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just say yeah.
Who's up first is me.
Who's on first?
Okay, my MVP is going to be Professor Elm.
Wow.
He kind of was a one-episode character, so I'm glad they remembered he existed and that he is here and that whatever the relationship is with Marius, he's having a good time.
Living his best life.
And he's here for his, like, ocean research, which is not something that Professor Elm is related to, but whatever, it's convenient. He's here because the ocean is the origins of all life on Earth, you see. And question mark, question mark, question mark.
I mean,
I'm not sure what he's doing.
He does the whole, wait, okay, his research is what, like baby Pokemon or something?
Yes.
Like, what is his official thing?
I think it's eggs.
Eggs? Pokemon eggs? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, life eggs? I mean, kind of, sort of?
Sure.
Sure.
It'd be funny if they walk in there and he's just cracking eggs in a frying pan. Hey, you guys hungry?
And Brock says, I could use that frying pan as a drying pan.
Oh.
Well, it's got grease on it.
My LBP will be Brock, because he has nothing to do, because he has no water-type Pokemon.
This is his Pokemon's hell, really.
Poor Onyx. I just feel so bad for it. Trembling in its Pokeball.
My quote is, Jesse says, he catches Ash in a net instead of Pikachu. And Jesse says, looks like James. And Meow says, got bad aims.
Hey.
Hey-o.
Man.
That's hilarious.
I can only work with what I got, Alex.
It's true. You do. It's true.
Make lemons out of lemonade.
All right, is it me?
It is you.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to start with my LVP, which is going to be Misty. Because despite her wanting to be a Pokemon, water Pokemon master, she hasn't trained her damn Pokemon a single iota. And her poor Staryu loses to Arbok in, like, one poison sting. So, pathetic showing already. So, she's got a lot to do before, apparently, this month is over. Good fucking luck. My MVP... God, I don't... I don't have anything. I'm gonna just say Marius for apparently being related to Gary in our minds. He's like a crusty old sea captain, and we all love a good crusty old sea captain, don't we?
We do.
Yep.
Arrgh.
Arrgh.
My quote... is, all right, at the very beginning, when Misty is like, this is my time, I'm so excited, this was made for me. She's like, I'm a water Pokemon master, this is wonderful. And Ash says, excuse me, would you mind telling me when you became a water Pokemon master? And Misty says, the smaller details don't really matter, Ash.
Good deal. I'm going to give my MVP to the Tentacruel for demonstrating its capabilities. Plus, I'm glad they didn't do something weird with the tentacles. Good for you for restraining yourselves, anime. The LVP, I'm going to give it to, I guess, the author of that book, the Royal Islands book.
Oh, right. They get a guidebook, a Royal Islands guidebook.
Yeah. It just wasn't very good. Not very good touristy.
Not a page turner?
Not a page turner. It didn't really excite me about the Royal Islands. I'd be more of like, well, I guess I have to be here, not I want to be here. And my quote comes from our boy Brock. And it actually is related to that book, because they read the guidebook from cover to cover, and Ash actually reads it, which tells you what level it's written at. And Nurse Joy comments about something it being a good book, or not a good book, and Brock goes, Nurse Joy, you rule in my book.
Was that really happening in the episode?
Yeah, he does say that.
Oh, I missed it.
I missed it too, but I'll believe you.
Jacob's lying to us, but it's okay.
No, it happens. I can actually timestamp it.
Austin, neither one of us like can definitively say, because apparently we weren't paying enough attention, so we just have to go with it.
I will say this. I'm watching old DVDs from like the early 2000s for this season, and they have captions. They have closed captions. So I'm on top of the dialogue game this time.
Awesome.
Good. I'm watching the redub. It's actually pretty interesting. I'm watching Pokemon Kai.
Oh.
Yeah,
I would love that, actually. That'd be so
that
fun.
Would be interesting, right? If they actually cut out the filler, it'd be like, what is it, 1,000 episodes to 300?
That would actually, if that,
yeah. All right, let's get on to the Fly Me to the Moon episode.
Oh, Lord.
Which based on the song and or Evangelion, whichever you prefer.
People who haven't seen Evangelion are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I mean, it's pretty, like, wouldn't you say it's kind of well known? I mean, maybe not.
Just kind of well known. Just a little bit. Just a
it's
little
also very controversial. I didn't realize how controversial the ending was. Not to the anime, but like the song being at the end.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Something to do with like when they redid it, they didn't get the rights to the song and everyone got really
mad
about
it. Okay, that I knew.
Yeah, it's something to do with that. because they had to like re-record it with the, you know, because the person who sings it in the original is very good at it. It sounds really cool.
Frank Sinatra?
No. It's the girl that sings it.
Oh, you mean the Japanese woman, I assume.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you ready, Jacob?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So we're moving on to different islands here. We come across Pidgey Island, which is protected, which is a new thing, I guess. But there's no predators on this island. So these Pidgey are huge. They're like, you know, they belong on TLC with their own show. But there's one Pidgey that is actually different than the rest. And this Pidgey wants to go to the moon. And so Team Rocket, along with Ash and the Torps, actually help this Pidgey try to get to the moon. Even though it's going to die trying to reach it, they say, hey, go for it.
Time.
Which is really interesting.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm really super glad, you guys, that we have a episode dedicated totally not to water Pokemon, when that's the whole point of this whole thing. Now we're just on some random...
I'm getting mixed messaging here with what our topic to be is.
Like, this felt very Orange Islands.
This is very...
Don't you think?
Yeah, it did.
It did.
The geographically isolated Pokemon, yeah.
Super random, super... Like, why in the hell do we have a Pidgey episode?
A second Pidgey episode.
We already got Ken the Pidgey, which was traumatic enough, and now we're here on Pudgy Pidgey Isle, which should tell you all you need to know.
I wanted this to be like a new form. Like in the games, it's like, oh, it's a Pudgy Pidgey.
Pudgy Pidgey.
Is it me or are they super fucking cute?
They are. I would love a plush.
I mean, they remind me of the chickens that we load up with growth hormones.
That's super and they're unable fucking to walk. Cute. Okay.
But they do look cute.
I think the cutest is when they try to fly. And, you know, it's like 2 or 3 feet is what they get. I love that.
They've eaten themselves into a state of not being able to fly.
I don't get even what they're eating. I guess people just feed them. Is that what they're saying?
Well, no one lives on Pudgy Pidgey Island other than Wilbur.
Well, we'll get to Wilbur. And I think Wilbur's part of the problem, but regardless. Yeah. So Misty is deep in the throes of her, like, Corsola obsession. And she sees, I don't know, what would you call, like, a group of Corsola? A coral?
I was wondering that, too. A reef?
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, that's really good.
A reef of Corsola. Okay, that's the winner. Jacob, I don't know. Give it a try.
A conch-quince.
A what now?
A conch-quince. I don't know, like a conch shell.
Boo.
It was a good try. It was a good try. Keep working. Keep working at it.
A reef was too good. I can't follow that up.
I know. It was. Yeah, that was the winner. So we see a reef of Corsola, and we just have to follow it. And before we can decide like how we're going to get there, because apparently the whirlpools are over here, too. They're just all over the place, like a bad rash. A guy interrupts.
Why does anyone live here?
I don't. Well, nobody lives here except for this one guy.
Oh, true.
And
true.
This guy's name is Wilbur. He's like, hey, they're headed to Pudgy Pidgey Isle. It's pretty impossible to get there by boat, but I can somehow get you over there. Do we even see how he gets them over there?
Yeah, he has a bridge.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot all about the bridge.
Yeah, it's the rickety bridge. This is Melanie's trap, which you're talking about, right?
Melanie has been in the Whirl Islands, and she made this bridge to Pudgy Pidgey Isle.
Yes, so Austin and Jacob are right. There's one way over to Pudgy Pidgey, and it's a rickety bridge. And if we remember Melanie, the crazed girl who lived in the woods, who, like, makes people fall to their death off the bridge, apparently she was the architect.
But there's a twist to this bridge. You don't fall through it. It launches you into the air.
Because physics work like that, apparently. So a nice breeze comes through and spins the whole bridge around and around and around, and they fly off, fortunately, onto the island that they were supposed to get to. So great, we've made it over to Pudgy Pidgey Island.
I loved Wilbur being like, we made it!
Yeah, this is... Apparently that's like... Does that like happen every time? Like, this is
apparently
par for the course for him. Like, he's like, yep, we're here. This is perfect.
Just like I planned.
All according to Melanie's plan, yep.
Yep. So Wilbur explains, like, they see a group of Pidgey, because this is the Pidgey episode for some reason. These Pidgeys are a little different, though. These Pidgeys are extremely obese, and that is due to the fact that they live in these isolated islands, so they have no natural predators, and they don't have to fly away. So they just sit around all day, pecking on the ground and eating the food, apparently, that Wilbur continues to bring them. So I feel like this guy is definitely part of the problem, because he's not helping them get fit or, like, just letting them be, like, wild Pidgey. He keeps feeding them and feeding them and feeding them until they're, like, rotisserie chickens.
It's almost abuse.
I would argue that.
Borderline abuse.
And he sees no problem with this. He's like, they're kind of cute, and, you know, I just sit around and feed them, so whatever.
Maybe he eats them. I don't know.
He fattens them up.
I was thinking that, too. I was looking up, what does pigeon taste like? It's called squab meat, apparently.
Squab.
Squab. And it has a very slight gamey flavor, similar to that of duck.
Okay, so it's dark meat.
So this guy is all in it for, like, the squab of it all.
He's got to squab the deck.
So they get to Wilbur's house because he's like, I'm the only person crazy enough to live here. They call up Professor Oak, and Professor Oak tells them that once upon a time, serious academic minds actually debated whether or not these Pidgey on this island were an evolution, a de-evolution, or a mutative strain of Pidgeys. But now we've wisened up and just agree that they're just really fat.
That was my quote. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. You can still have it as a quote.
Okay.
Okay. Wilbur explains that his Pidgey, though, he has one Pidgey that is actually a normal Pidgey, and his Pidgey's name is Orville, because that's a cute reference, Wilbur and Orville, like the Wright brothers.
Oh, I was thinking like Charlotte's Web or something. I don't know. Wasn't the pig's name Wilbur?
It was. Web? I think so.
Okay, I was thinking something else. Okay.
All right.
That's why Orville's name is Charlotte. It is a spinner rack.
That's right. Me not knowing history.
Oh, God. Yes, the inventors of the airplane. So Orville, though, is a delusional Pidgey, and his dream is to fly higher than all the other Pidgeys, because why not?
It's gonna die.
Orville was so cute in that little aviator hat, though.
He was super cute, and he didn't have weird eyes. He did not have weird eyes like Ken.
Ken the Pidgey wishes he was Orville the Pidgey.
Right. What if they met? That should have been this episode. They should have met.
Did y'all clock when Wilbur said, well, people used to use Pidgeys to deliver messages, but that became outdated with telegraphs and telephones.
Throwing shade.
Yes. I was like, someone didn't tell that to, what's his name?
Yeah, but I thought they addressed that in that episode with Ken, because they were like, it's outdated, and Grandpa, like, didn't he, what was the little kid's name? I can't even remember. But, like, Grandpa was like, this is not the future, and I'm worried about this boy, because this Pidgey thing isn't lucrative.
Yeah, Brett.
Brett, yeah, something like that. Apparently, nobody has told Orville the story of Icarus because, as we all know, you fly too close to the damn sun and then you're going to die. But yeah, so this Pidgey's dream is to, like, fly into outer space or something. I don't know how Wilbur, like, knows that. I guess he just watches Orville and he's like, yeah, that's definitely his dream. But Team Rocket interrupts and they're like, hey, we're your friendly neighborhood meteorologist. And we just happen to have this balloon that can go into the upper atmosphere. And we can help you measure how high Orville can fly and see if he can, like, break the record for, like, how high a Pidgey can fly. So that's really great.
Did they ever state what the current record is?
I don't think there is a record.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they actually measure how high the Pidgey goes.
They do.
Oh, they do?
At least they start out with that. They do, a little.
Okay. Okay, never mind.
So they're like, yeah, come up on our weather balloon. We have outfitted it with, like, rocket thrusters and, like, an oxygen tank and, like, the state-of-the-art meteorological tracking devices that we can, like, measure your Pidgey's flight.
They sure came up with this plot very fast.
Yeah, they did. But apparently a day passed. They wait until the next day because Wilbur's like, we should wait till the prime atmospheric condition, so we'll wait till tomorrow. So that night, Meowth comes up, and he's like, I know all about adversity, and I taught myself to talk because why not? And you can do it too. You can be the first Pidgey to, like, overcome all the other Pidgeys and fly to the moon or whatever it is you want to do.
Very touching moment.
It was very touching, I will say. So the next day, they're like, all right, well, are you ready? We're going to fly up in the balloon. And they do. They start going up and up and up. And they get to the point where it's like, I know James at one point says, like, 10 kilometers? Or is it 10 meters? I can't remember.
It's got to be 10 kilometers. Because meters is not far at all.
I did not write down any measurements. But I did write down, God, I hope someone who actually knows something about, like, the atmosphere is able to hear us on this episode and write in, because I did not know anything about how high they were or what any of it meant.
I actually kind of, when I was watching this, I kind of Googled, like, the layers of the atmosphere to see, like, how far up. Stratosphere. Yeah, I think, so from my notes here, so at one point, James says they're at, like, 10. And I think the stratosphere or the troposphere, I can't remember, like, where it ends and begins, but it's, like, the troposphere to the stratosphere is, like, 20. So I think they're getting up to where, like, planes can fly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the part where they break out the oxygen masks because they can't breathe and it's starting to get cold up there. Orville is becoming delusional and he's like, I gotta keep flying. So at some point, we see, like, the twerps are still in like the area of the atmosphere where it's like blue skies and sunny and stuff like that.
I googled like what birds can fly the highest, and the Ruppel's vulture, I guess that's the highest one, can fly 37,100 feet.
Isn't that like how planes fly, right? They fly at 30,000 feet.
That's up there. That's really up there.
That's fascinating. But I wrote down, like, I'm pretty sure, okay, because at this point, like, the Torps are still in the atmosphere. But Orville is, like, I think he's in the thermosphere, man, because he's, like, he's out in space. Like, you can see Earth and, like, the moon.
Yeah, he's in space.
He's in space.
Yeah.
Well, you see the entire curvature of the Earth. Like, he's way up there.
Yeah, he's... yeah. He's about to, like, leave orbit, is what he's about to do.
They should have had, like, a satellite or something go by, or he goes by a satellite or something, be like, oh, wow, he is, you know, really going to the moon.
Obviously, this is absolutely impossible, and I'm surprised we didn't see Rayquaza up there, honestly. I was thinking we would get a little cameo since we're getting close to Hoenn.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet, sadly. I was gonna be like, wow, maybe a little bit, like a little green dot somewhere in the distance, but we didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't see the little green dot in the distance?
Okay. No.
Knowing Rayquaza like we do, he would fly up and be like, get the fuck out of my area, and like kill the
pigeon. No, he would like fly right up to him, and like Pidgey's on its deathbed, and be like, was it worth it? Like right when it dies, you know?
But you know what, Jacob? Honestly, it would have been worth it to this Pidgey, because this Pidgey is like, he's in absolute heaven. He is like, I've touched the face of the sun. This is amazing. He's half dead. Like, Meowth is like pleading for him. He's like, you don't have to prove yourself anymore. You've done it. You've got to come back. You're dying. You're covered in icicles. This is crazy.
Like, he's going through like hypothermia now, right? Like,
it's bad.
He's just like floating out there.
Yeah. He's not even like flapping anymore, 'cause he's so far out into like the atmosphere. Like, he's in space practically. So he's just sort of like floating there. This episode kind of took a little bit of a dark turn, because it's pretty much like you've reached your pinnacle. Like, you're about to die. Like, this is enough.
Should they have waited till this Pidgey evolved into a Pidgeot, and then, like, maybe it'd be, like, more durable or whatever?
I don't know. We'll have to look at... There's a lot of physics going on here we'd have to look at for it if it gets bigger, does the mass of it stop it from going so high, or...
Maybe it's just, like, the whole point was, like, overcoming, like, adversity. Like, you're a little Pidgey, you know? Like, everybody said you couldn't do it, even though nobody's saying that, but...
I have a theory about what this episode's all about, but we can finish it, and then I'll tell you.
Okay. It does seem to have some kind of a... There's something going on, I feel like, under the surface, but we'll wait. So, yeah, Orville finally snaps out of his shit, and he's like, okay, I've done all I can. I've reached my goal. So he goes full meteor and starts, like, crash landing into Earth.
Why did he not burst into flames and, like, immediately disintegrate?
Yeah, he should have.
He's so cold. He's too frozen.
Something. Anyway, he crash lands into the
science
balloon. You have to just suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, he crashes into the balloon. Snaps out of it immediately with no lasting damage somehow. But now their balloon is popped. Oh, I forgot the whole part about, like, the Spearows. There were some Spearows that chased them around, but whatever. It had no impact on the story. They crash land, but somehow they're, like, 30,000 feet into the air. But they crash land in a matter of, like, 2 seconds and, like, with no damage, because somehow all the fat Pidgeys, like, rally around to, like, make a cushion. So they just... fall onto the Pidgeys, and they're, like, completely unharmed. From, like, airplane level.
Yeah, from, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. Speed from falling...
Oh, my God, we're going
to... What is the speed of re-entry? Yeah, I want to know this, because how fast did they hit the ground?
Well, did the Pidgey Orville re-enter, but the balloon didn't go that high.
The balloon was still in the damn, like, stratosphere. Like... Jacob, how fast would you be going if you fell from the stratosphere?
Terminal velocity is 120 miles an hour, right?
You're asking
okay.
me?
I have no idea. Let's go to Reddit. Reddit says, if you drop a fresh plain bagel out of a plane at 30,000 feet, will it scrumble?
Scrumble.
What is going on here?
Scrumble.
Okay, I'm not getting an answer.
Hold on, I'm going to Google this too.
No one's ever thrown a Pidgey out of an airplane before.
Isn't it 90 meters per second?
According to the first thing comes up when I Googled, how fast would you fall from 30,000 feet? It says the free fall time from extremely high altitude jumps, like the 30,000 foot halo jump, is about 170 seconds or 2.5 minutes. Okay, that's just the time. I want to see, like, how fast. 12 seconds to reach terminal velocity. What is terminal velocity?
Isn't 120? That's what mine said.
200 kilometers an hour. So yeah, you were right, Jacob. 120 miles an hour.
So they're definitely at terminal velocity, right? 30,000 feet.
Thankfully, in the Poyon world, terminal velocity does not exist.
Yeah, apparently
we're
not.
We're also looking at what kind of force the Pidgeys are stopping, too.
They're fat Pidgeys. They can stop anything.
Well, this
they can absorb it.
One, they were bred two, for this. This was five human beings, a balloon, and a Meowth and a Pidgey. So,
okay, so is Wilbur just some super genius that he fattened these Pidgeys up as his contingency plan in case they were all going to die? So he, like, just fattened up all these Pidgeys selfishly for this one Pidgey?
We didn't see the carnage of all the fat Pidgeys being crushed under the wreckage.
Yeah, do we actually see the Pidgeys after this? I don't think so. Anyway, that was an interesting thought experiment. But yeah, no lasting damage. They get back down to Earth, apparently unharmed. All of that hoopla, his adventures into outer space, inspire... Actually, no, we do see the Pudgy Pidgeys again, because that is what inspires them to get into shape. They're like, we're going to start to fly now because we want to be just like you.
Yep, and that was the moment where it dawned on me what the fuck this episode is.
So yeah, can you tell us what your thoughts are? Because this one was a weird one.
Alright, this is going to be wild, y'all. Okay, have y'all ever heard of Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
No.
It's my cousin.
Is that your cousin, Jonathan?
This is my secret cousin, yeah.
Jonathan Livingston Seagull is a novella, and it's illustrated with black and white photographs. This is from Wikipedia. And it's about a seagull. This is a seagull that's part of a flock of seagulls, and all the other seagulls just live their seagull lives. But Jonathan, he wants to learn how to fly, like, really good. Like, he wants to go faster than any other seagull ever has, and higher than any other seagull ever has. And he has to learn all these special tricks that he can fly around and do, like, aerodynamics and stuff. And eventually, all the other seagulls are like, Jonathan, you're a freak. You're banned from our flock of seagulls. And he keeps on training, and he achieves terminal velocity and doesn't die somehow. But he manifests into a new reality.
Whoa.
That he assumes is heaven. And there are all these other birds there, and they all love flying. And flying is a metaphor for something, but I have no idea what.
Freedom.
What?
Freedom.
Possibly. He meets all these other birds, and they go to different planets and stuff. It's weird.
Whoa.
But eventually, he's like, I'm going to return to the Earth and teach the other seagulls about the magicalness of what they can achieve. So he goes back to the Earth, and he slowly ends up taking on, like, a cult of seagull followers, and some crazy shit happens, but his inspiration lives on through the other seagulls, learning all about his journeys into space and whatever.
Whoa. Okay. Where did you find this?
Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Do we think this episode could have been based on that shit?
I absolutely subscribe to that idea. That's too very, close to
yeah, be it's very, like, the parallels are there.
When the Pudgy Pidgey started flying, I was like, oh, shit.
Where on Earth, like, okay, I'm sorry, can I just, full confession, like, when you first started talking about Jonathan Livingston Seagull, like, Seagull's a last name, so, like, I thought this was a person, not a seagull.
No, I should have prefaced that, not S-I-E-G-E-L.
Yeah.
Like a bird, like,
oh, okay. I thought so, too, because I was like, maybe this guy... I thought this guy was training birds to fly as high as possible. And that was like his...
Nope.
The seagull... Thing.
I told you it was going to be a wild ride that you weren't going to see coming.
He had ambitions beyond the french fries that people leave off the side of the pier. He wanted to fly high.
Apparently, this book was like a huge phenomenon in like the 70s. Like, it was massive. Like, it was bizarre and like it didn't fit into any genre and people didn't know what to do with it. But it was a massively successful book. For some reason. And I looked it up, and it did get to Japan in 1977.
So, very possibly. So, what is the title of this? It's just Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Yes. Seagull spelled like the seagull, like a bird.
Seagull.
Oh. What a, yes. What age demographic is that for?
Nobody knows.
Who okay. wrote this?
It doesn't have an age demographic. It exists outside of demographics.
Who is the author?
Jonathan Seagull.
It was a self-insert.
He's a bird.
I read the whole thing last night, by the way, okay. And it was insane. Oh. It was a lot.
Hold on. I have to know exactly how you, like, is this something that you were aware of? Or, like, how did you Google, no. like, birds in space? Like, what did you, how did this happen?
There is a movie adaptation of this book.
Oh, God.
And it's entirely made of footage of bird, like real birds.
Flying to space?
It's like Homeward Bound?
Yes. And so, like, people are talking, like, apparently. People are, like, narrating the seagull dialogue.
Oh, my gosh.
And, okay, Neil Diamond scored it.
Was he singing Sweet Caroline? Is that, like, just the
I don't believe that makes an appearance, no. Okay. I could be wrong. Because I didn't see this movie. It was, like, impossible to find without paying for it. I'm like, I'm not doing that shit. No, thank you. So, apparently, it's extremely bad. Because it's documentary footage of seagulls going to space.
That sounds amazing. I don't... Who said it was bad? Because I'm overcome with the desire to watch it.
Sounds like a bonus episode.
I learned about this from the How Did This Get Made podcast.
Wait, unrelated? Like, you had seen this before?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The How Did This Get Made podcast about the movie Jonathan Livingston Seagull. When I was watching this Pudgy Pidgey episode, I was like, wait a goddamn minute here.
Wow, what a connection. I had no idea that existed in the world. Holy crap.
But I think we got to find this movie, y'all, and do a bonus episode like you said.
Mm-hmm. I would watch it. You don't even have to like convince me. I'm there.
I'm not sure what kind of drugs we're supposed to be taking with this movie, but we'll figure it out.
People love this book.
I know. It's like it was a massive thing. It was like Harry Potter before Harry Potter.
Really?
Oh, I see the DVD.
Oh, you found the DVD?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. God, the reviews are great.
Was this okay? So obviously this was like everywhere in the zeitgeist, you know, back in the 70s. But like how come like
it has vanished?
It's I've never heard of it. Like nobody talks about this. Like I've never even seen one reference to this on the internet. Like never.
Wikipedia had a list of things that referenced it, and apparently like
was it this episode?
No, it didn't list that. It did not list that. But it listed like The Simpsons.
Well, somebody needs to update the wiki and put this episode into it because this is clearly inspired.
Like, let's go through this list. It's like, okay, the Brady Bunch movie.
What?
Key and Peele. Ray Donovan. A Gamera anime.
Okay. Maybe we're the weird ones for not knowing this, but
ABBA wrote a song about it. The novel was the inspiration for the band name A Flock of Seagulls.
Oh my gosh.
See, I was just about to ask that.
You guys thought so too.
You want to know the first review of the movie? It says,
go for it.
Beautiful movie. If you're looking for the common movie stars with a film full of the common sex and violence, this is not for you. But it's definitely for me. But it's definitely for me. A beautiful, warm, and heartfelt story with a wonderful soundtrack. Took me back to the 1970s when I first saw the film. Happy to have it in my DVD collection. It is worth watching more than a few times.
More than a few.
More than a few. Quite a few.
Yeah,
more,
so quite a number of times. If you're looking for sex and violence, this is not for you.
But I don't think that's true, because the seagulls are violent to each other.
Maybe so.
Wow.
Good lord. The reviews for this movie are in all different kinds of languages on Amazon.
That's amazing, Austin. I can't. Thank you for the education, because I never would. It just, like you said before, like it felt like there was something to this movie, like, or this episode. Like, it had to be a reference, or there was something different about it.
It had a different vibe.
It did have a different vibe. Like, this absolutely has to be 100% where it comes from, because there's no other way. Wow.
If you have a deep love for Jonathan Livingston Seagull, write in and let us know at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com.
Yeah. If you were alive for this phenomenon, or have heard of this before, please enlighten us. Persuade us to purchase the movie.
You don't need to persuade us, though.
Alex is on board. She's a Jonathan Livingston stan over here.
I am.
Stand.
I stand. Wow. All right.
All right. That's Fly Me to the Moon.
I remember loving this episode when I first saw it as a kid. I think I just liked the different vibe it had.
Pidgeys flying to the space.
Yeah. I think I was a Jonathan Livingston stan before I even knew this, it existed.
Overcome your adversities and just do whatever you want to do, even if it's wildly dangerous.
Unlike Jacob, who hated this episode. He hated both these episodes, apparently.
I like this one a little bit better, but it was just weird change of pace. I guess it's like a Scientology book. Maybe. It sounds like a Scientology book.
Yeah, people are like, it just has spirituality, and I'm like, I don't know what the spirituality is, though. It goes over my head.
It does sound like the go to space, come back. Make of it what you will. All right. You ready to move on to the MVP, LVP, and the quote? Let's do this. All right. Not much change here. Alex, you're first. Austin, and then me.
All right. My MVP, I'm going to give it to Meowth. He was very sweet in this episode, you know, really wanting to support Orville and his dreams and like giving him that rousing and touching speech where he's like, I overcame my obstacles to learn how to talk and you can do anything you put your mind to. And then, like, at the end of the episode, they're, like, little buddies. They're, like, hanging out, looking at the moon. Because we all know Meowth, like, loves the moon. So I thought it was sweet. My LVP is going to be the Pokemon Protection Agency, because I think the PPA is a bunch of bullshit that Wilbur was just making up as he went. But basically sanctioning this whole Pudgy Pidgey Island catastrophe in the first place and allowing this animal mistreatment to continue unopposed. My quote is going to be at the end of the episode where Meowth is chilling with Orville and they're in a little tree looking up at the night sky. Meowth says about the moon, "Does it look just the same up close as it does far away? And is the moon really made of cheese?" And Orville says something back to him, and he said, "Had to be there, huh?"
Is it my turn?
Yep, your turn.
My MVP is going to be Maddie Blaustein, voice actor for Meowth. And she wrote the English language script for this episode, apparently.
Nice.
That's what Bulbapedia said. RIP to her. My LVP will be Wilbur. And my quote will be Misty at the beginning when she sees the Reef of Corsola. She says, "Oh, Corsola, Corsola, wherefore art thou swimming off to, my lovely little Corsola? I just gotta catch a Corsola. Now all I need is a boat. Wherefore is a boat?"
My MVP, has anyone said Orville yet?
No.
I'll give it to Orville for, that's the Pidgey, right? Chasing his dreams. Yeah. I'll give it to him. Gosh, I don't know who to give my LVP to. Probably the Pharaohs. I'll give it to the Pharaohs for trying to stop Orville. And it made no sense. Like this, it made no sense that they talk about how this island has no natural predators and we literally go 100 feet in the air and there's pharaohs and sparrows there. That was stupid, right? That was dumb.
All right. Next week, our Whirl Islands adventures continue in the episodes Taking It on the Chin Chow and A Corsola Caper.
Oh my God. A Corsola again. Godly, they have a hard-on for Corsola, don't they? We need to look up, see if there's any, like, obscure, like, reef novels. Like, this reef breaks off and it goes into the mythical part of the ocean.
Probably, and it was, like, a massive success and everyone in the world knows about it except for the three of us.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, anybody else have anything else to say before I close this out here?
Nope.
We'd like to say thank you all for listening, and please leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We have a Twitter/X account. The handle is outofdryingpan. Again, the handle is outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram account ran by Alex. There's some fun stuff over there. And finally, I think our last plug will be our Patreon account, which you can read about in the link to the description of the podcast. If you feel like supporting us, please check it out. And I think that does it for us all here. Please be sure to join us next time as this journey continues.
The path that I choose, being my friend.